The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, that your grace is upon us. Your mercies are renewed today. Your power is available to save, heal, deliver, and to recover. You have enlightened the eyes of our understanding. You have created a capacity and a thirst in us to take in your word. May your word dwell in us. May your word be assimilated in us. May your word work in our lives. And may your word produce fruit of righteousness. I bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please resume your seats. Today, remember, we shall be going to the Lord's table. So our desire is to have a message that will help us link up with God and maximize the blessings that we derive from the meal of the Lord's table. In that vein, I'm preaching on the topic, act wisely, comma, not presumptuously. Act wisely, comma, not presumptuously. And I'm sure we'll find the word presumptuous in the scriptures, so it shouldn't be a problem for us regarding the spelling. Turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 15. Numbers, chapter 15. I read from verse 24 through 30. Numbers 15, 24 through 30. Then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. 25. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. 26. And it shall be forgiving all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. 27. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and he shall be forgiving him. 29. And ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. Verse 30. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Can you say a very good amen to the reading of the word? Now, this scripture introduces us to one area of the concept of sin. Sin means to miss the mark. Sin means to miss the target. It means to miss the bull's eye. Sin means to deviate from that which is the norm of God. Sin means to elect to go your own way other than the ways of God. By this text, we are introduced to two types of sin over here. The first is the sin of ignorance, or the sins of ignorance. And the second, we have the sins of presumption. So that there are a collectivity of sins that can fall under the subtitle sins of ignorance. And we also have a certain category of sins that can also fall under the description of sins of presumption. So number one, what are sins of ignorance and how are they attended to? The sin of ignorance, number one, is unintentional. Somebody sins, but it is unintentional. It's not planned for. It happened impulsively, on the spur of the moment, happened inadvertently. So this can be described as due to an error. You were probably going your own way and somebody kept pulling the back of your shirt in town for no reason. And you ask him why, and he wouldn't stop and he wouldn't give you a reason. And somehow you got angry and pushed him violently to the ground. Now, acting in that anger to such an extent that he either pushed him or struck him in God's sight may be sin. But this wasn't the type of thing that you actually planned for. It just occurred on the spur of the moment. So the sin or sins of ignorance, number one, are unintentional. Number two, they are impulsive. Number three, they occur on the spur of the moment. Number four, they occur inadvertently. And number five, they may be described as due to error. The Bible says regarding the sin of ignorance, there is an atonement for it. So the Bible says the priest shall make atonement either for the individual or the congregation so that they be forgiven. That's in verse 25. And they shall bring their offering. They shall bring a sin offering. A sacrifice shall be made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for the ignorance in their sin. So it is sin. God frowns on it. God is not happy with it. But if the people repent and realize they are wrong, then what eventually happens is that they ask for forgiveness and go through the required sacrifices, and then God will forgive the sins. Today I wish to pronounce upon you that is hearing me, and even myself, that may the sins of ignorance be forgiven. Oh, you didn't say a good amen. May your sins of ignorance be completely forgiven. Can I hear an amen? But we have a second category of sins. They are the sins of presumption. What does the word presumption mean? So we first look at it in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word for presumptuous or presumption is the word pesha, P-E-S-H-A. So presumption in the Hebrew is the word pesha, P-E-S-H-A. Pesha means to transgress. Pesha also means to revolt or to rebel. By this definition, is simply saying that those who are committing this kind of sins are fully aware that God is not in favor of it. However, while they transgress, they act in rebellion. They act arrogantly. They act with satanic audacity. They are headstrong. So, what are some of the characteristics of presumptuous sin? Number one, it is willful and deliberate. It is willful and deliberate. Number two, it is premeditated and intentional. It's premeditated and intentional. Number three, the sin of presumption rejects the way of God. It says, away with the scripture, away with what God has said. Let me do my own thing. Number four, this attitude of rejecting God's way is equal to rebellion. So the sin of presumption is tantamount to rebellion. It's like you are openly rising against God to confront him. And finally, the sin of rebellion is reproachful to God. As a matter of fact, God regards it as blasphemy. So he doesn't treat it lightly at all. It is upon that basis that he pronounces the fact that let the soul that sinned presumptuously be cut off from the congregation of Israel, because God thinks that it's willful, it's deliberate, it's intentional, it's premeditated, it's done defiantly, arrogantly, it's a rejection of God's way, it's tantamount to rebellion, it reproaches the name of the Lord, and it is equal to blasphemy. So let that soul be cut off from the congregation of the righteous. The Greek word for presumption gives the same idea. It means to think or suppose defiantly or recklessly. In other words, people that engage in presumptuous sin are quite careless. They're quite reckless. They act with some pride, arrogance. And they do it feeling they are right. And it's afterwards that they realize the folly in their lives. Can you turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel? And I want to give you an example of how David dealt with a person, a particular Amalekite, when he did something against the anointed of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 1, reading from verse number 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1, In verse number 1, we are told that Saul had been put to death. And they returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, David, and he abode in Ziklag. When you read on, it indicates that Saul and Jonathan were dead. And David goes in sorrowing. But before then, there's a young man, verse 5. There's a young man that comes to David. And no, it's rather verse 4, sorry. There's a young man that comes to David and tells him that he saw Saul on the verge of death and he slew him. He said he saw Saul on the verge of death and he slew him. So let's read verse 4. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people are falling and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. Verse 5. And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son are dead? And the young man told him and said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his own spear, apparently committing suicide. And lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called me, and I answered, here I am. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I'm an Amalekite. And he said unto me, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. And I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was falling. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was upon his arm, and have brought them hither unto my Lord. And David took hold of his clothes and rent them, and all likewise all the men that were with him, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening. And Saul said, for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were falling by the sword. And Saul said unto the young man, now listen to this part, whence art thou? And he said, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, how is it that thou wast not afraid to stretch forth thy hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of his young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. Verse 16, David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. You would have noticed when we read from the earlier text in Numbers 15 that it said that whether it be an indigene of the land, that is an Israelite, or a stranger, if they engage in that kind of sin of presumption, they shall not be spared. Here was a stranger, an Amalekite, who had come to tell David a piece of news that he thought David would have been happy about, that he met Saul pierced by his own sword and was on the verge of death. And Saul invited this Amalekite, according to the account, that come and slay me because I'm in distress, I'm suffering, I'm in a shameful circumstance. And the Amalekite said he slew him and took the bracelet that was upon his arm and took the crown that was upon his head and have brought it to you. David received it, but David said, you acted presumptuously. You took the law into your hand. You should have known that you don't touch the Lord's anointed. And because of this, you will not be spared. And because of that, your blood is upon your head. Now, in relation to presumptuous sin, it's as if the judgment is upon your head. Did you hear what I said? But today, by the blood of Jesus, we access the message of God, and we ask that may that condemnation be taken from the head of your family. Oh, come on. And may it be taken from the entire family. May it be taken from your life in the name of Jesus Christ, because you cannot act presumptuously. Under the Old Testament, if inadvertently or unknowingly you killed a person, provision was made through the law that you could run into the temple and hold on the horns of the altar. Once you held on the horns of the altar, it was like a refuge, a type of security for you. And no one could touch you as long as you remain in that place. But if it was a presumptuous sin, according to Exodus 21:14, if the killing was premeditated, then not even going into the temple to hold the horns of the altar will spare you. The Bible says you'll be plucked from the altar, from the horns thereof, and you'll be brought out, and you'll be violently slain. So God wanted people to act lawfully and wanted people to act in conformity with his word. Anything that happened unknowingly, there was a sacrifice that took it away immediately. But what was planned, what was premeditated, what was plotted, and what was executed, God says, I will deal with it. I will not allow it, because you have acted very unwisely. There are a number of examples in the Bible, apart from what I've just given, that has to do with people who enter into sins of presumption. One of them was Lucifer. The first example. Lucifer was so glorified, gifted with the ability to lead worship. He was a very handsome man, and he stood before the throne of God to worship. What an honor. I mean, what a privilege, what access. Lucifer was not satisfied with this position. He looked at God with the eyes of covetousness, and he said that he wants to be like God, and he also wants to sit on the throne like God, and he wants to lift himself above God. So because of that, he was struck now, and together with one third of the angels who followed him, they were cast out of heaven. And Lucifer's end, according to the scripture, will be eternal damnation. Adam and Eve, another example. God created the garden, created Adam, took a rib of Adam, molded Eve. Before then, he had told Adam that regarding the fruit in the midst of the garden, you shall partake of it. But concerning, he says, regarding all the plants in the, you shall partake of it, rather. But the one that is in the midst of it, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not partake of it. In the day that you shall partake of it, thou shalt surely die. In other words, God says, now you have knowledge of it. If you act, it's not in ignorance. If you acted, it's presumptuous, it's willful, it's deliberate. It's a rejection of God's way. It's a reproach to the name of God. It's a blasphemy against the name of God. It's a rebellion. So God threw Adam and Eve out of the garden after Eve ate it, because she was deceived directly by the devil. And then she suggested to the husband to also partake of it. Then again, we have in the scriptures another young man by name Shimei. He was so bold, had the audacity to follow David. When Absalom staged that rebellion against his father, and while David was fleeing into self-exile to find security somewhere, the Bible says that Shimei followed David and said, you are guilty of your own sins. You have shed blood. Eradin tiauka. Nchela wobunyomo. Manche bunyo. And Shimei followed after the king The Bible said he threw sand at him. Oh, what a way to despise a king. And he also picked stones and threw at him and said, ooh. Ohini kakabu. One of David's men wanted to react and kill him. But David said, hold on. David would not say anything. But David told his son, who was to inherit him before David died, that if your kingdom is to be established, then watch these two people, Adonijah and Shimei. If you don't deal with them, they will overthrow you. So Solomon gave a word to Shimei to comply with, not to leave an enclave. Some of Shimei's servants ran away. So Shimei chased after them and traveled beyond that enclave. And Solomon heard about it. And Solomon stamped his authority. And Shimei was killed. It came to the same thing, that the soul that sinned knowingly, presumptuously, shall be destroyed. May the Lord deliver us. Can I hear? Oh, your amen is now. I say, may God deliver us in Jesus' name. The next one is Miriam. Miriam was a prophetess of God, so she wasn't an ordinary member of the congregation. She was a sister to Moses and older than Moses. When Moses went to marry an Egyptian woman, which was contrary to the directives of God, Miriam took upon herself to challenge Moses and to talk about it, amongst other things. God was displeased with it, and God had Miriam struck with leprosy. So for about a week, Miriam had leprosy. And it was a way of showing Miriam that you don't attack servants of God. Leave them to me. I know where they have erred. I will judge them. I will deal with them. But don't take the law into your hands and try to do things the way you perceive should be done. And the next example has to do with the Israelites after the spies had returned from spying the land of Canaan. When they had been sent by Moses, the Bible says 12 of them went, 10 of them came with an evil report. They said, the land we saw indeed sustained its inhabitants. It's a land very productive and rich. We have brought these huge grapes, bigger than normal, as a testimony to the fact that this land is rich and well, and full of productivity. However, we saw some giants in the land. They were of the kind of the descendants of Anak. And they said that we are not able to conquer them. So they sent this negative information throughout the congregation. And there was an uproar. There was anger. There was disillusionment. And there was rebellion. The congregation of Israel acted presumptuously because they shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have spoken against the Lord. They should have trusted his word. They should have followed his word. But they chose to complain and to murmur and to say, God, why have you brought us this far? Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us this way? Shall we elect a leader for ourselves so that we return to the land of bondage? I mean, that was very defiant. Then God said, any Israelite above the age of 20 will perish in the wilderness. Only those below 20 would inherit the promised land. May you not die prematurely. I'm now praying for you, very serious. May you see the land of promise. May you enter Canaan, your heritage. May you possess your possessions and inherit all your inheritance. May you be anointed to enjoy the fruit of the land. May you live long, full of wisdom, full of riches, full of blessings, and may your children's children be blessed as well. But may your life never be cut short. May you not be like Moses, who stood on a mountain and saw afar off the promised land. But may you be anointed today to enter the promised land, to conquer the enemies in the land, to break down the altars of evil, and to establish the will of God in that land. The next example in the Bible is Achan. Israel had been warned that when you go into the land, you must destroy everything. Everything means everything, including the kings and everybody. Destroy everything. When they went into the land, Achan saw gold, he saw silver, and he saw other riches. Collected them and dug the ground and hid it under his tent. And Israel went into a battle in Ai, and they lost. About 36 people were killed. And when Joshua came back from the battle and could not understand why 36 people were killed, he went to God. Even if one person is killed, a good shepherd must be concerned. Can I hear an amen? He must raise intercession and plead for the mercy of God, that the spirit of death shall strike no more. So in seeking God's face, Joshua had a response that somebody had picked an accursed thing. When you are in Christ, don't have an accursed thing with you. Don't have an idol in your house. I'm not hearing an amen now. Don't have a concoction mixed for you from the witch doctor, from the juju man, placed somewhere in your bedroom. Supposedly when you stay, then you are stirring the giftings of God and the anointings of God. Don't have any kind of amulet or charm. Don't consult the medium, nor practice witchcraft, nor necromancy. God is completely against it. Achan took the accursed thing and brought a curse onto his family. He was located by the Spirit of God, brought out. And the Bible says that he and his family were stoned with stones. Until today, when you go into the valley of Achor, you will find a heap of stones that was cast against Achan. Is somebody following what I'm saying? So what have we been saying so far? We have been saying that according to the scripture, there are two types of sin. One type is called the sin of ignorance, and the other is the sin of presumption. Regarding the sin of ignorance, it means that it occurs unintentionally, inadvertently, it's impulsive, it's on the spur of the moment, and it's just due to a blunder or an error. So there is a sacrifice for it, there's a sin offering. Whether it is an Israelite or a stranger, God is ready to forgive it. But there's a second type of sin, which is the sin of presumption. And we said presumption means, in the Hebrew, to transgress, to revolt, to rebel. This type of sin, God sees it as willful, as deliberate, as a rejection of God's way, tantamount to rebellion, and that which is intended to bring a reproach, and God equates it to blasphemy. That thing of acting outside of the context of the word of God, when you having heard the voice of God to so act, is what we call presumption. I'll give you an example where some people act presumptuously and think they are acting in faith. I read the story of some, I think, Chinese girls who went to India. And in India, there's a river, a huge river called the River Ganges. At the time they went, the Ganges had overflooded its banks. So it was very dangerous. It was frightening. And this young woman said, according to the scripture, Peter walked on water. So they would also walk on the water. So they held their hands, about four of them, they joined their hands. And then they started walking in the direction of the river. And unfortunately, they didn't float. The river swept them off their feet. And they all died. Now, that was not faith. That was presumption. Because you would hear in your spirit, God will inspire the word in your spirit. God will stir the word in your spirit. And he would expect you to act upon that word. God hadn't spoken to them, yet they acted on their own accord. And because of that, their lives perished. There has been debate about whether to go for the vaccination against the COVID-19 or not to go for it. And all kinds of people are postulating things, a lot of which falls under presumption. Some of which are not faith at all. Number one, as Christians, we are supposed to be wise. Number two, we are supposed to be careful and not careless. So in a period when an adverse wind is blowing, if we need to keep ourselves, we keep ourselves. Number three, if there's any provision that God has given men wisdom to get to assist our case, and it has gone through scientific procedure and it's fine, let's go for it. Because a little protection is better than no protection at all. Can I hear an amen? When churches had to resume in many countries after the lockdown, hours of meeting were reduced. And in some cases it was a whole service for 1 hour. In some other countries it was meeting on one occasion for 2 hours. I heard a servant of God who made a video and condemned all those who went to negotiate with the government and said they were without faith. Listen to me. Tell the person that we are not really in normal times. You tell the next person. And when you are in a certain condition, you have to look at the situation. While you keep your eyes on the word of God, you keep your ears to his spirit, and you cover yourself and protect yourself and not act presumptuously with ungodly bravado that as for we can meet without face mask and nothing will happen. My faith is not your faith. And your faith is not my faith. My prayer life is not your prayer life. And your prayer life is not my prayer life. The scriptures that I have studied may not be the scriptures you know. And the scriptures you know may not be the scriptures I know. So I can't have a general theory for everybody that everybody is fine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I didn't hear an amen. So number one, it's good to cover yourself. And number two, even much more, walk in faith. Walk in the word of God. Get yourself in prayer that any virus that comes near you shall die instantly. Can I hear an amen? But don't act in a godly bravado. Don't act presumptuously. There are Christians, when they are supposed to use some medication and they haven't yet developed their faith for what they want, they say they won't use it, and matters complicate, and finally they are rushed to the surgical medical emergency, and the same medication that they refuse to use is putting them in plenty doses in their nose, in their everywhere. And sometimes your hospital bill is much more than if you had just complied with the daily medication. Church, be wise. And if you agree with me, why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? Oh, come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Sin is a matter of choice, just as righteousness is also a matter of choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The Bible says, choose life that you may live. A choice that is intentional and defiant will lead to terrible consequences. It will bring grave consequences against the children of God. It is on this basis that David prayed, and I want us to look at David's prayer in Psalm 19, verse 13. Psalm 19, verse 13. And you and I can learn from this prayer. Psalm 19, verse 13 says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let not them have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The psalmist said, Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins. Can you lift up your right hand and say, Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins. Oh, lift up your right hand and say it aloud. Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins. In other words, you are saying, Lord, keep me from intentional sins. Keep me from deliberate sins. Then number two, it says, let not them have dominion over me. In other words, presumptuous sins can overpower you if you allow them. The reason why somebody is overpowered by drug and is at a high stage of addiction is that they allowed it, and today it has overpowered them. The reason why some people are so addicted to sex is that they engage in presumptuous things and it has overpowered them. It has had some dominion over them. Then he goes ahead, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. If you are innocent from the great transgression, then you are innocent from the grave consequences. You are innocent from the judgments that destroys people. May that be your story. And your destiny is not adversely affected. And destruction will simply pass you by. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear a very good amen from somebody? So in your life, you must not take it for granted. There are things some people say, oh, me and shame, okay, boom. No, just keep quiet and love the people of God. The Bible says, honor everyone. If somebody is not honoring you, you can hold yourself. You don't even need to shout about it. Are you getting me? If a leader is despising you, you don't even need to say anything. You can just hold yourself and carry yourself with dignity. But that thing of going around and saying that, as I mentioned, those same people, they cannot stand open frank talk. They can't. Do well to honor all men. Even if they are mad, honor them. I didn't hear. When they are poor, honor them. Can I hear an amen? Honor the king. That's what the Bible says. And honor the brotherhood. There are some people that would dishonor you, but know how to hold yourself from them. That's all. You don't even have to complain about them. You don't even have to shout about them. You just keep quiet. If they want to touch you and you are anointed, they are in trouble because they are committing the presumptuous sin. And you know that their end will not be well with them. You don't even need to curse them. Saul had been slain. He was not alive. Yet God used David to slay the man who slew Saul. Although he claimed Saul requested for it. Even after they have killed somebody, the blood of Abel will still speak. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's important for you and I to recognize that there are a set of sins. God doesn't like sin. But out of his mercy, he says that those that are done ignorantly, I know how to handle lightly. But those that are done deliberately, I would deal with the matter very seriously. But Christ came to die for us. Somebody clap for that. Christ came to die for us. So that what could not be forgiven under the Old Testament, with a repentant heart, we can access the grace of God and receive the victory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. One of the things that the Bible talks about, when the Holy Ghost is come, the Bible says he will convict the world of what? Of sin. It's one of the things that the Holy Ghost does. He's the one that will point out to you when you misbehave, when you have acted contrary to the word of God, unless the Spirit of God is not in you. Unless you have stopped reading the word. Unless you have stopped praying. So every time, God has a way of pointing you to what you have done, which is not right. Even before men come and talk to you. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. So you are not supposed to be following people with a rod and a club and telling them they have sinned. No. If the Spirit of God is in the church and the power of God is in the church, as they just listen to the word, something will be occurring on their inside. Can I hear an amen? And it is the power of conviction that results in repentance. And it is the repentance that brings the change. And when that change occurs, that change is permanent. Because it was done by the Spirit of God. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. Somebody may offend you today and may feel his or she is right. Take your time. In 5 years' time, you may get a phone call. Oh. You may get a text message. You may hear a knock at your door. And the person may walk in and say, I have done unwisely. I have acted foolishly against you. I have realized that I have offended you. And have brought you this parcel to say, I am sorry to you. Yeah. Don't be in a hurry for people to apologize to you. Don't be in a hurry for people to repent, because you cannot help them repent. It is only God, through the Spirit of conviction, that will point out what people have done. And in their regret, they will get up and call others to call you, to plead with you. And say, tell so-so-and-so that I have really wronged her or wronged him, and let the person not hold it against me, and let the person not count it against me, because I want the forgiveness of God just as I also want your forgiveness. Some of you, your fathers didn't care for you. After birth, they just went somewhere, left your mothers, and your mothers struggled for you. Those fathers, some of them had monies and they went to spend it with other women. Now they are old. You feel so bitter. You feel so angry. Listen to me. There is a Holy Spirit who is speaking to that man who left you. And I'm telling you that one of these days you will hear a knock on your door. Oh, I didn't hear that. Amen. One of these days you will get a phone call. One of these days you get a text message, and the person will be saying, I'm indeed sorry. You will find that you'll be dumbfounded. You wouldn't know what to say, and you just be quiet and watch on and see what the grace of God would do. Oh, come on. Some people may have gotten you out of a job. They may have undermined you to get you out of a position. But I'm telling you, the time is coming, and it is not long from now, where they will come and kneel before you like Joseph's brothers. When Joseph's brothers stood before Joseph, the Holy Spirit started convicting them. And they say, you see what you did? You see what it has resulted to? You see why they have taken Benjamin as well? You see what has happened? I said, I'm prophesying to you that time is coming. Don't be in a hurry to curse people. Don't be in a hurry to pray judgmental prayer. Wait. God will do a great work. They will bow on their knees. When God has sat you upon the throne like Joseph, is somebody hearing what I'm saying? They may reject you initially. They may not accept you into the family. They may not recognize you. But listen to me. God is upon his throne. And in his own time, he will speak for you. I say, God is speaking for you. He will speak for you today. And he will speak for you tomorrow. So just keep your heart cool, because some days of rejoicing are coming. By the time they come, you would have learned your lesson. God would have lifted you up, and they will come looking up to you to see what God has done in your life. They meant it for evil, but God turned it around for my good. Oh, shout amen, somebody. I say, shout amen, somebody. Let them accuse you falsely. Let them persecute you. Let them undermine you. Let them threaten that they will spoil your name. Let them stand boldly and beat their chest and say, I can't get my fitile, my fitile. You let them spoil you. But God will rebuild you. God will repackage you. God will place you where he wants to place you. They may have misunderstood you. Your whole life may have been misconstrued. But I have good news for you. Don't rush ahead of the Holy Ghost. Don't curse too quickly. I'm not hearing an amen. Don't pray judgmental prayer over them too quickly. A time will come. Didn't they plot to kill Joseph? Didn't they plot, and didn't they put him in a pit, and didn't they sell him as a slave? I mean, that's very wicked. And all the while Joseph was going, he said, what have I done? I only had a dream, and I told my brothers. Should I have kept quiet? But it's too late. Then he started life afresh. Young boy, 17 years old. Started life afresh. Young boy, 17 years old. In a strange land. Then another woman told another lie on him in his master's house. Oh, young man, why? But people with destiny always go through something for the Lord. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Jesus was reviled. He said, you'll be reviled. He was despised. He said, you'll be despised. He said, he was treated with scorn. You'll be treated with scorn. But at the end of the day, those who suffer with me shall reign with me. That's what the scriptures say. even if you were in fault, but they mistreated you, God still does not approve of it. God will repair your life. He will rebuild you. He will transform you. And he will honor you and put you in a place that when they come, they will bow their heads in shame. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. You know, some of those people are not, they don't have shame. After 15 years, when they would have, you know, brought things to your head, did it 15 years ago, when they come to apologize, then they ask for money immediately. If I call you, no go view, no can, because maybe I'm you. Maybe I'm you. I mean, bow up of it again. Don't be in a hurry. Can I hear an amen? It took 17 years more. Joseph was around 34 when he was made a king. 17 years. He had to be patient. When he saw his brothers, he shouldn't have let them go back, assuming they went and they didn't come back. Because they were ready to part company forever with Joseph. These people could have let Benjamin say, oh, I'll leave Benjamin alone. We will not go back. But you know, Joseph was not even ready to reveal himself. He took his time and took them through the processes. And when he had to disclose himself, he said, I am Joseph, the one whom you sold out to the Midianites. God brought me ahead to prepare for you in this time of famine. And this is what God has brought me. What you meant for evil, God has turned it around for good. Oh, come on, put your hands together. They will need your support one day. They will need your help one day. They will need your wisdom one day. They will need your prayers one day. But don't be in a hurry. Take your time. Boy, hane jebu kete shilebi e jebu ni je e jeko o se shibi fe. Boy, natri bileba she e chenkra nuncho ba mole ni ba mia lojuba. Yes, amen. Learn to be meek. Learn to keep quiet. It's also a virtue. We must confess the word. We must declare the word. We must make warfare. But meekness is also part of the warfare. When you leave God, he will deal with your enemies. Come on. Ebakosame. Ebakosame. Ah. Come on, oh, ba fifo. Nibino, oh, fifo, be amunyame eko, beko, beko keya. Come on, okoto kumi mbachi, o banka kam me bachi, o biahi anunyam e ameba pale bienche, me min kewa kese kaple bahi ude. Na bene no konoko he hiabo, ni kote se konya bana bone, koya ta family meeting no wo bene no no fiano bafe diye, because nunchele bienche ke anunyam ko babo de. Ah! There are people who intentionally hurt you. They are aware. That is why Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not. They knew it. But Jesus said, if they knew the consequences, they wouldn't have been so defiant. If they knew the judgment that will follow, they wouldn't have attempted to have spoken about you the way they did. If they knew God will raise you up, they would never have despised you, but God allowed them to despise you to eat their words. They will eat their own words. You will never be a laughing stock. You will never be a proverb. You will never be a reproach, nor a byword. They will not have opportunity to laugh at you. They will laugh at the wrong side of their face. Your success will be their failure. Your promotion will be their demotion. I'm prophesying now. Your advancement will be their retrogression. Anytime they see you, neba doam, eba shame tomo pakoshito, eba tomo sabu line ya ohimani. You are worrying too much about those who are. Let them insult you. When they insult you, go to the woods and seek the face of God. And turn their mockery into praise. Turn their reproachful laughter into rejoicing for your life. Turn the bitter waters of Mara into sweetness. Don't drink the bitter waters. Pray for the branch of Christ to be extended into your waters. The sons of the prophet said there is death in the pot, but they didn't eat it that way. The prophet came and he threw salt into the food, and supernaturally God healed the food. May God heal your life. May God heal your situation. May God heal your family. May God heal your marriage. May God heal your relationships. May God heal your circumstances. You will never see me going to beg. The Bible says, the path of a just man shine brighter. Am I not shining this morning? Come on. Call you in a choco bilang born hour. Choco. Brighter and brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. The path of the just. Shine it. Shine. Just be just. Don't let them drag you into the gutter. Don't let them take you down. Just walk on the path of the just. The guilt that will override them. Some of them will not be able to sleep for the next 6 months unless they come and beg. Judas could not contain it. That's why he committed suicide. I'm not prophesying they will commit suicide. They will come and kneel down like Joseph's brothers and acknowledge the crown upon your head. Don't be too concerned about what they are doing. It hurts, but like Hannah, let it drive you to prayer. You will meet the servant of God there who will say, why are you doing that? Are you drunk? You say, I'm not drunk. I'm here and pouring the bitterness of my heart. Pour the bitterness of your heart in prayer to God. At the end of the day, the servant of God said, be it done unto you according to your heart's desire. Today I'm prophesying to you. I've started. May it be done unto you according to the promotion, the elevation, the glorification, the expansion, enlargement of coast and territory, the wealth and the divine fame that you will get. Oh, come on, put your hands together. They may fight you, but they will not prevail. But they will look for you and they will find you when they have repented. Oh, can you clap to the living God? Just clap to him. Just clap to him. God has allowed this. So you pray not to gossip. So you go to the woods and pray so that you become better. Once you know the pain of being gossiped against, you don't practice the same. When somebody is saying stuff, you say, are you sure? let's drop this matter. How are the children? I have something for you. Then you bring the thing out. Then you silence the gossip. You don't practice it. I feel like God is about to do something. I feel like that's why he allowed that thing to happen in your life. So that when he does it, they will realize that they spoke against you. But God took away your shame. God took away your disgrace. God took away the fact that you came from a family where they didn't know your father. But you have a heavenly father who knows you. He says, Jacob, I have called you by name. God is calling me Tete. And he's calling you where you are. The Bible says, the barren woman has become the mother of many. Take your prophecy. I say, take your prophecy. Laughter is coming. Rejoicing is coming. Celebration is coming. The pregnancy and delivery are coming. The new job opening is coming. The business prosperity is coming. Local and international doors open. I command the marriages established by the will of God. Turn to the next person and say, I see you rising higher and higher. My daddy left 6 of us to our mother, hoping that our mother would be frustrated and come and dump us back to him. But our mother got born again. And after I had been born again, she just learned how to pray. Today, is it not a testimony that we who were neglected? Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Have been picked by the Lord. There was a purpose why he allowed that. At that time, it was not pleasant. Because when I compared the way I dressed at home with my colleagues whose things were St. Michael. You know those days when somebody's wearing that thing, then it's not this Louis Vuitton and Pierre Cardin. And, no, it was St. Michael. And some of us were wearing Rock Bokbo and Obey the Wind. And your chaliwate had to be pinned from side to side. With a long pin. So that you wore it until it got worn out. And created a cavity like a crater lake. Inside the thing. But the Lord saw it all. Today, if I have footwears. And God deems it fit that I should have more. Then thank God for my life. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. I'm not hearing an amen. Some of us didn't go to privileged schools. I told you the school I went to was called Nima for Primary School. And you know Nima. One of the biggest slums. And if you're in class with nice Nimanians, won't you learn how to speak a little Hausa? So, this speaking, where is it from? It is from Nima 4 Primary School. Reverend Hyde, allow me, Mali. Those days, we used to look at our colleagues who were in preparatory schools, and their uniforms was different, and we had the pure Saito uniform, khaki. Then on your breast they will print KB, huge K, carrying a small beak, Kimbu. Then on Saturdays, you washed your attires and applied starch and wetted it after it was dry and ironed it till it was like the vapor rising went to the throne of God. Then the edge of the attire, the lines were so pronounced and sharp that they could sharpen a pencil. The Oshade, wouldn't just Oshade, the Ofunaka was a fine funaka, Okoto say a fine funaka. Stiff. But I thank God for those days. I worried all my worries when I was young. So now I have no covenant with worry. I have covenant with prayer and the word of God. Can I say that again? I worried all my worries when I was young. Worry will age you. Worry will make you look old. Worry will affect your blood pressure. Worry will affect your emotion. Worry will produce all kinds of fluids in your body that shouldn't be produced. Excess amounts that you don't need. But when you keep a joyful heart, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace can I hear a more solid amen? Some people are growing lean by their guilt of what they have done against others. They are not happy, not because the Holy Ghost is leading them elsewhere, but because of the guilt. They did all they did, but you didn't talk.